Hi, it's Jeff. Welcome to this masterclass where we are examining my favorite question, what do I want? And I'm not kidding you, this is my favorite question because this is the question that started it all for me. When nearly 20 years ago now, I stepped back from my career at Goldman Sachs and began asking this question. Back then, not only did I have no clue of what I wanted, but I had even less clue about how to go about answering this question, let alone where the journey of asking this question would lead me. Back then, I hadn't thought much about any of these topics. I thought I knew what I wanted. I'd be at Goldman Sachs for the rest of my career. But when that changed, and I started thinking differently, I didn't know how to explore it, let alone how to come up with new ideas. And so over the course of 10 years, reading books, writing thousands of pages of notes, I discovered what I wanted. And I also discovered something much more. That the question itself was false. And this really hard question that many of us spend our lives trying to answer was actually answered very easily when you come at it a different way. We're going to be talking a lot about these topics in this masterclass because it really matters, doesn't it? As I often gripe, how many of us are living the lives we truly want? Really, how many of us are living the lives we truly want? How many of us have the careers we want? So many of us are working hard. But how many of us have our careers working hard for us? How many of our careers are truly creating the lives we want? If your career is your vehicle for your life, how many of us are driving in the right direction? How many of us are on track to get there? Having spent plenty of years exploring these topics, I've realized that many of us struggle here. There's a high-quality version of this question, and that's the one we're asking, what do I want? But the low-quality version, the even harder question is, what do I do? So many people find themselves trapped, stuck, in jobs that they don't want to be in, or worse, career tracks that have slammed into a wall. See, 30 years ago, it was the auto workers. The white-collar folks looked at those and said, well, you got to go get an education. Then it was the journalists. And basically, every profession these days is under threat. That expensive, overpriced education, in many cases, isn't worth the paper that it's printed on. Many of us find ourselves stuck in our careers, not knowing what to do. Just this week, I met with a hedge fund manager who described the last 10 years of his career as a sinkhole. His first 10 years in the hedge fund business, he did extremely well, made a lot of money, felt like king of the world and all that stuff. But anyone who's close to that business knows how hard it has become. And so sitting here today in his mid-40s, he's looking down the track, saying, I just don't know how I succeed at this anymore, wondering what else do I do? And of course, it's not just hedge funds. Many careers are under threat. Many people are struggling to figure out what to do. And that's the low-quality problem. The high-quality problem can be just as hard. Like a former client of mine, he had succeeded massively in his career, but he felt stuck. Should I retire? Should I not retire? If I do, what do I go do? These days, many people ask me about their kids. In high school, in college, in this world of change, they don't even know how to advise them anymore. What do you tell them? What do you go do? How do you even figure it out? And the old paradigms for choosing a career were woefully pathetic decades ago. Get a good job or follow your passion. Yeah, you just gotta find your purpose. What color is your parachute? You know what, though? Just read the book, Who Moved My Cheese? The answers are all in there. You know what you really need? To find your destiny. That's it, your destiny. Your purpose. You gotta find your purpose and your passion. You gotta live with passion. Just never stop looking for it. Maybe it's over there, underneath the rock. Go shake the tree. Shake the tree. Maybe your passion will fall out. Like Newton's apple and hit you on the head.
Of course, I'm playing around here, a little bit at least, but let's be clear. The advice is almost as bad as our marriage advice.
When you know, you know.
Okay, so what about all the people who got divorced? Did they not know, or did they know? And if you don't know, then what do? Do you keep dating? We need better answers, particularly in this modern world with rapid change, in a world of choice. We need better guidance. And we're going to be talking about all these topics in this masterclass. Focused on, how do you figure out what you want? I feel a little foolish even saying it now, but for nearly 10 years I just ferreted through books thinking, surely someone can help me answer this question. Because I believe that if only I could figure out what I wanted, then I'd be able to get it. Yet reading through thousands of books looking for the answer, I mostly only found myself getting more confused. See, nearly every book in personal development just assumes that you know what you want. Of course, you want to be successful. Doesn't everyone want to be successful? Or they assume that you have a goal, and they have their little processes for setting goals well, but it assumes that you actually have a goal, that you know what you want. But that's where a lot of us find ourselves stuck. And that's where I found myself stuck for many years. And you shouldn't have to read thousands of books and become an expert on personal development to figure out what you want. And in fact, this is the main reason why I left my career on Wall Street to write my first book. Because I found an answer. I found a much easier way. You see, when we keep asking the same question over and over again, we only find ourselves more stuck. Yet over the time that I was asking this question, I got lucky. Even though I was getting more stuck in my own head, asking it over and over again, what do I want? I don't know. I got to figure that out. What do I want? I don't know. I was taking action. And over the course of 10 years, looking back, I could see, even though I didn't know what I wanted, making moves in my career, collecting new ideas, developing skills, getting more strategic, I was moving forward anyways. And that helped me define a process that we can all use to keep moving forward, creating the lives that we truly want. And this process of define it, which is step one in my system for doing what you want, is what we're going to be going through in this masterclass. See, what I discovered was that the mainstream paradigms for setting goals were just weak and ineffective. They either force you to be too abstract and focus on a big, hairy, audacious goal, or too limited because they require you to get specific and actionable, even if you don't know what you want. And I realized in defining our goals, we need a much more sophisticated approach. And this approach works in three steps that we're going to walk through in this masterclass. Step one, you orient towards what you want. So even if you don't know what you want, you set that big, hairy, audacious goal, that grandest vision, or grandest visions, anything that orients you in the right direction already gets you moving towards what you want. Step two, rather than thinking you need to plan every single step along the way, you develop a roadmap. Step three, you hone in on the steps that are right in front of you. And this is where traditional goal-setting approaches can actually be powerful, because now you want to be specific and actionable. Each of these three steps we'll be going through in the next three tracks in this masterclass. And then track five is a different type of learning, a deep learning track, which brings all of these learnings together in a way that you can deeply integrate these ideas. Along with this masterclass, we've included my book, Do What You Want, where you can follow along with some of these ideas in the chapter Define It. But as we keep working through this together, you'll see that I'm deviating heavily from the book. And that's because I wanted this masterclass to stand alone and be a resource that you could use to work through. And also, there are some other structures and processes in this masterclass that aren't in the book. And these come from specifically how I work through this question with clients to help them become unstuck and to explore what they truly want. We're going to work through some of those processes together as well. You'll also see in the workbook that came with this masterclass some worksheets and some other diagrams just to keep making this even clearer and to give you the best of what I've got so that you can actually do this work with me and reach the end of this program with a much more systematic approach for you to either solve the low quality question, what do you do? Or the high quality question, what do you want? And if we do our job right here, this might be an approach that you can use for the rest of your life. And not just in navigating these hard choices around what do you do in your career? How do you keep using your career as a vehicle to create the life you truly want? But how do you also navigate these hard choices in life? Because they're more or less the same thing. Do you take this job or that job? Do you move to this place or that place? Do you marry this person or that person? These hard binary choices are what get us stuck. And the steps that we'll be working through together here equally apply to any of these tough choices we have to make in life. See, cutting to the quick, what we're going to talk about a lot in this masterclass is how we keep moving forward. Because faced with uncertainty in our lives and in our careers, we often just find ourselves stuck, unable to move forward, like the proverbial deer in the headlights. And it's not our fault. On these topics, it can be really hard to know. See, but when we say stuff like, oh, I feel so stuck in my career, we're not really stuck in our career, are we? Most of us aren't bolted to the desk or chained to the floor. Our stuckness isn't happening in the job. The stuckness is happening in our heads. Because these questions can be hard to answer, right? Not knowing what we want can be hard. The paradox of choice is that the more choice we have, the harder it can be to decide. And as we'll talk about in a moment, the very question itself, what do I want, is structured in a way that can make us more and more stuck. And most of what we will be doing together in this masterclass is converting the question, what do you want, into a process. And then utilizing this process to keep moving towards what you want over time. See, where we really get stuck is asking the same question over and over that we can't answer. If you knew what you wanted, you would already know. And if you don't, then that's okay too, because the process we'll be working through together keeps you moving towards what you want, even if you don't know what that is. So really what you see is the process we're working through is a sophisticated approach for navigating uncertainty. So that whether you do or don't know what you want, you can set your grand vision. Develop a roadmap to just lay out some of the tracks that keep you moving there, and then really focus in on the next steps that keep you driving towards what you want. As we dive deeper into this, let's talk about why we get stuck. And the reason is because as we go into this topic, it will become clearer exactly why I've built the solution the way that I have. And there's really two big buckets of reasons why we get stuck on this question, what do I want? The first bucket relates to our heads. As I said earlier, we're not stuck in our careers, are we? We get stuck in our thinking, and that's what leads us to get stuck in our actions. So, cycling the same sort of thoughts over and over again, we fail to actually take those actions that would lead us to move forward. The second big bucket of ways we get stuck is in the question itself. The question, what do you want? Whether it be a long-term question like in your career, or even a short-term question like, what do you want for dinner? Can keep us stuck by the underlying structure of choice. We'll come to this in a moment. Let's talk about five ways that we get stuck in our own heads on these topics. The first way we get stuck in our heads is that, quite simply, choice can be hard. It can be hard to choose. Look at every aspect of our life where we're forced to choose. What socks do you want to wear today? If you're a woman in particular, how do you want to dress? Style your hair. Some of these things are really obvious and easy for us to decide, but often they're not. And choice is hard because we have a lot more options. Imagine that you only had one outfit that you could wear, it would be a lot easier. Imagine that you only had one meal that you could order at dinner, it might be a lot less satisfying, but it'd be a lot easier to choose. The socks you put on, the way that you get to work. See, the brain is set up to make so many of these choices automatic for us. This is the notion of habits. And the reason is because that way it doesn't have to go through the mental strain of deciding each time. Because choice can be hard for us humans, and it's especially hard in this world of ever-increasing choice. 60, 70 years ago, people had far less choice in their career. My granddad had no choice. He came out of school, his job was to jump out of a plane with a gun. He didn't get to do what he wants. He didn't get to make the choice. And whereas today we're so blessed by choice, this also brings its own burden. Part of the reason is because we're not taught how to choose. Nearly all of our life, our choices are made for us by our parents, by our teachers, by other authority figures. Then we reach some age where suddenly we have to choose. Someone comes to you and says, what do you want to do when you grow up? What sort of a question is that? It's a hard one to answer at the very least. And a great book on this topic is by Barry Schwartz, The Paradox of Choice. Inside, he talks about topics like decision paralysis, which is if you've got more choices, now you can get paralyzed with the choices you do and don't make. Or decision regret. So you made a choice, and now you can spend your life regretting that choice. And that's why, as we keep getting deeper into this masterclass, you see that we're removing this forced choice, and instead laying out a process that leads to your right choices over time. A second reason we get stuck in this hard question of what do I want is that our society and our brains are so fixated on outcomes. As we'll talk about in a little bit,
You hear that trite advice, "Oh, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey." So many people spew useless advice like this, but how many of them really live it? Truthfully, how many people really live life like it's a journey? Like it's a fantastic road trip, a joyride. Instead, most people's lives are just these awful, boring, certain, stable, lame lives where the only destination they're living is the grave, and the journey itself to get there is mediocrity and mundanity. I know that sounds harsh, but the annual employee surveys tell us that 2/3 of people are disengaged in their jobs. It's okay though, they only have to do it for 40 years or so. If you're disengaged in your job, what the fuck are you still doing there? And I even saw this at the top of finance at Goldman Sachs. So many people whining about their jobs, but not making change. And that's because we end up fixated on outcomes, on certainty. And it's not our fault again. Certainty is one of the key paradigms in the brain. The brain needs certainty. If you didn't know whether your left foot goes in your left shoe and your right foot in your right shoe, it's hard to get dressed in the morning. But this certainty forces us to then process all of our choices through it. So even if we really want to go for what we truly want, now the brain starts to say, well, how do you know you can do it? What if you fail? Do you really want to take that risk? Fear, overwhelm, anxiety. This is why many people lack goals. Even the most successful, hard-charging people I know, so many of them lack goals because they're afraid of uncertainty. And this happens because we fixate on outcomes rather than truly honing in on the journey. A third reason that we get stuck is a slight variant of this. And it comes back to the advice that we hear all the time that we also ignore. Oh man, just be present. Yeah, be present. Oh, I run across so many people these days talking about meditation. They do their little 5 minutes of headspace every day, and then they try and tell me that they're training their mind. They're meditating. Yay! Like doing one push-up a day, hoping to get in shape. Our brains are focused on the future. Constantly. 70,000 thoughts a day, most redundant, mostly negative, mostly focused on some future that we're trying to control that we have absolutely zero information on. And so we say stuff like, oh, just, 10 years from now, then I'll be ready to leave my job and do something different, as though we actually know that we're going to live for 10 years. Of course, you can't live your life like you're going to get hit by a bus tomorrow. But do you really want to live your life like you're not going to be? In leaving a top job on Wall Street to start Amazon, Jeff Bezos is quoted as saying, "I knew when I was 80 that I would never, for example, think about why I walked away from my 1994 Wall Street bonus right in the middle of the year at the worst possible time." That kind of thing just isn't something you worry about when you're 80 years old. The truth is, there's so little that we actually understand about these topics in our own heads. People in their 70s say, "I don't know what I want to do when I grow up." Yet all the studies of people at the end of their lives, obviously we all know this, they don't regret things that they did, they regret things that they didn't do. Yet looking forward from where we are now, it doesn't always feel this way, does it? The other perverse thing you learn in the world of happiness is that we actually don't know what's made us happy in the past. We think we do, but the human brain is a rationalization machine, And so it really just rationalizes and makes up the past. When, if we don't know what made us happy in the past, how can we possibly even predict what will make us happy in the future? And it's for reasons like this that we remain stuck, rather than going for those things that we want now because we're thinking too much about, I don't know, stupid consequences that we've made up in our heads, which keep us stuck. A fourth reason many of us get stuck is many paradigms in our society. What do you want to do for the rest of your life? The rest of your life. Just decide. You got 5 minutes. Our so-called education system gives us absolutely zero frameworks to actually think about this. And given the rate of change, many of our parents aren't able to guide us either. And so most of what we get is that pathetic advice, just follow your passion or get a good job. But what is a good job these days? Which job is not going to get outmoded by technology? Is there even going to be such a thing as a great job in the future? I don't know. And what about that passion? Follow your passion. Live with passion. All right. What does that mean? Because think about how false the paradigms are. Oh, you can do whatever you want when you grow up. You can really live your dream. So what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to do whatever the fuck I want. Yeah, but you can't do that. I mean, given that you have to work, what job do you want to have to do 5 days a week for the rest of your life? I want to do whatever the fuck I want. No, that wasn't the question. Yeah, but you can live your dream. You can follow your passion. Okay, how? When all the paradigms in our society are stacked against us, including the education system. You graduate with 250 grand of debt, if you're lucky. Now what? What are your choices now? Hasn't society trapped us in many of these ways? Limited the way that we think about it, limited the choices that we can make. And it's true, but when you begin to think differently, now you set your own paradigms. Now you create your own choices. A fifth way we get stuck in our heads on this question of what do you want is that the questions are just too massive. See, if the question is, what do you want for dinner? The consequences are low. You're going to eat dinner again tomorrow night. But what do you want? We're going to come to this in the next section, but come back to that question. What do you want? Think about how massive a question it is. How do you answer such a massive question? Often we don't. See, whereas ideally, you would love a question like that to inspire you, to get you fired up, get you dreaming, get you excited. A lot of the time it creates negative states, like overwhelm, or fear, or anxiety. And this is really one of the key tricks to becoming unstuck. And this is working a little bit backwards, but this might be one of the most powerful ideas I share with you in this entire program. If you're feeling stuck, the number one thing to do is change the feeling. See, because what happens is we're feeling stuck, and then that feeling in itself leads us to be more stuck. Fear, worry, overwhelm are hardly the sort of emotions that get us excited and fired up and taking new action and creating new ideas and going out to meet people and see what we learn. So whereas the way the brain is set up is the cause and effect is when I'm unstuck, then I will feel amazing, or whatever your word is. And a key trick to this is go to the feeling first. So if you feel that way when you're unstuck, feel this way now.
Because the more you feel this way, you're already unstuck in your head. And when you're unstuck in your head, now you're unstuck in your actions. And now you're moving, taking those actions that lead you to become unstuck. And this is the real trick again with these big questions like, what's your purpose? Ah, you got one, just tell me your purpose. Just fill out this table. Yeah, your purpose is in there. Your passion? Ah, just got to find your passion. Live with passion. Find your passion. Where do you find it? I don't know. Find your passion. Your destiny. Ah, you just got to get in touch with your destiny. See, the problem is these are such massive paradigms that keep us stuck. Versus, if you don't know what your purpose is, do something purposeful right now. And this is what we're doing in this process. Rather than getting stuck with these questions, what do you want? What's your purpose? We're developing a process that you can get purposeful about. Same with passion. If you don't know what you're passionate about, it's such a big question. Get passionate about this masterclass. Get passionate about the process we're building to keep creating the life you truly want. Same with destiny. What is destiny but violating the number one rule of the journey? Destiny is a destination, and the destination for life is death. Who cares about the destiny? What are you destined to do today? How can you be more purposeful today? How can you bring more passion today in creating the life you truly want? And you see, this is where we're really headed in this masterclass. Laying out process that enables you to just get beyond these sorts of stuck questions and paradigms and ways of thinking and get moving. Because once you're moving, you're creating new opportunities, creating new ideas, creating these new emotional states like excitement, getting fired up for what you want because you're already on your way. So you see, there's a handful of reasons and plenty of others why this question, what do you want, can really keep you stuck in your head and stuck in your actions. And of course, keep so many people stuck in those jobs that they no longer want to be in. And on top of that, the second bucket of reasons that we get stuck is the question itself. What do I want? If I had a dollar for every time I asked that question, I could have written a library full of dollar page books. But instead, I wrote one book because this question was so hard for me to answer, and I found a solution that I wanted to share. And part of that solution is what I'll get to in a moment, the dirty secret of what do I want? Because the question itself keeps us stuck. In fact, after asking this question nonstop for nearly 10 years, what do I want? I don't know. Well, you really got to figure that out. What do I want? I don't know. Well, you really got to figure that out. What do I want? I don't know. Really got to figure that out. And the more I asked the question, the more I just was grinding my own gears. Like a car stuck in the mud, wheels just spinning. Now, where I got really lucky was that I was still taking action in the meantime. And in hindsight, I could see that even though I was berating myself trying to answer this question, as I just kept moving, I was answering the question over time. So here's five ways that we get stuck with the question itself. What do I want? The first way that the question gets us stuck is this topic I mentioned earlier, the structure of choice. And what I mean by this is,
Imagine yourself standing at a trailhead for a hike. You got two paths out in front of you. Neither of them is marked, and you have to choose one or the other. The structure of choice is that word or. It means that you're forced to cross off one of your options and choose one or the other. And it's this structure of choice that keeps us stuck in many of our choices. See, we think we're special little snowflakes with our own unique problems, but of course we're all incredibly generic, and we all face this same structure of choice all day, every day in our lives. Do you do this or do you do that? Do you want this or do you want that? And in our careers, of course, it's the same question. As one of my early clients I talked about, do I retire or do I not? Someone starting their career, do I take this job or do I take that job? The structure of choice is that it seems to demand a yes or no response. And that leaves us forced to have to choose. Many choices, the consequences are low. Do you take a cab or do you take an Uber? Okay, you can choose, and maybe one slightly better than the other, but whatever. But on these massive choices, it's obviously much harder. You've been dating someone for 2 years. Do you marry them or break up? You've been married for 20 years. Do you stay married or get a divorce? These are hard questions to answer. And part of the problem again is that our society gives us very limited tools. The best approach you see is obviously draw up a list of pros and cons, like somehow that's meant to solve it. There's of course tons of value in writing this stuff down and clarifying what you're thinking. But the big problem with pros and cons lists is that now you're forced to make relative trade-offs. Okay, so, I really like this person on these three variables, but these other two, they really suck. Is that how you want to be on your wedding day? And this is the problem with most of our careers. How do you make that career choice? All right, this matters and this matters and this matters. Oh, and this sucks and this sucks. Oh, but it's better than that other one that sucks more over here. And so we're constantly trading off. Yet, as you'll see in the process we're building, if you're stuck at a yes-no, it just means that you need more intel. For instance, should I quit my job or not? If the answer is I don't know, then the answer is no. Collect more intel. Stay on your track longer. Explore more of your options. Should you marry this person or not? If the answer is I don't know and you've been together 2 years, just a word of advice, the answer is no. As weak as the advice is, it's true. If you know, you know. But what's not said is, if you don't know, then you should end it. Collect more intel. If you don't know after 2 years, go get more intel. Go date other people. Then you'll know. And the same is true in every decision. If you have to draw up a list of pros and cons, it just tells you that you don't have enough information yet. Keep exploring your options. Point two, this is where I got stuck for so long. What do I want? When? Ask that question, when? When do you want it? See, again, this is just an example of making the question so big. We make it a forever question. Like, what do I want? Implies there's one massive answer that is meant to satisfy you for the rest of your life. What do you want? You're 16. What do you want? See, and because the brain is set up for commitment and consistency, it's implied that we're meant to make a decision that we're then committed to for the next 50 years of our lives. It makes zero sense.
Yet, we keep asking ourselves these big questions that we lack answers to because the question's too big. Even the hedge fund manager who I was with this week would say stuff like, well, I gotta make a decision. Do I keep going in this career or do I go corporate? Again, it might be, yeah. Keep going this career for a year. Go corporate for 2 years. Buy a business after that. There's so many different options. But when we ask this generalized question, what do I want? When? A notion that I really came to enjoy in developing this idea of the journey is to see that it's a continuous journey where you get to decide whenever you want. Gay marriage, it's not forever. If you want to get a divorce, go for it. What matters most is how do you keep making the choices for creating the life you truly want? Make the choices smaller. When? Now? How long are you making this decision for? A year, 2 years, 5 years, 45 years? You get to decide. And if thinking about it too big makes it hard, just make it smaller. A third way that the question, what do you want, can keep you stuck is that it lacks context. Again, it's the same sort of thing as when, which is, so you're making this decision irrespective of everything else? It's like in economics, you have this stupid assumption, all else being equal. Well, all else is never equal. Yet, we try and hold all these other things equal while making this decision that's meant to relate to the rest of our lives. So we start to say, what do I want in my career? Well, what do you want in your life? Are you married? Do you have kids? What context are you making the decision? Are you getting a divorce? Did you make a lot of money, lose a lot of money? Is your health good or bad? And so, even though these things are implied, in every decision we make, we've got all these other variables. Often we try and ask these questions in a way that we're seeking a definitive answer, when no definitive answer can be found. It's always a context-dependent answer. And so the more flexibility we can add by thinking, well, am I making it now or forever? Am I making it in the context of my wife has this great job somewhere or my husband isn't working right now, so this makes sense? And then you just give yourself lots of different ways of looking at it just by making the question a little bit different. A fourth way the question, what do you want, can keep us stuck is at the how. See, this was also the crux of where I was stuck for so long is, if only I can figure out what I want, then I'll know how to get it. Notice that the brain thinks it's sequential. Set the goal, figure out how to get it. But there's a big problem, which is, if we don't know what we want, then we can be stuck like that deer in the headlights. Another problem is that even if we decide what we want, if we don't know how to do it, we often will dismiss that answer and say, well, that's not what I want, because really what we're doing is being realistic. Because we don't know how to do it, we don't go for what we truly want. We remain stuck pretending that we don't know what we want, when really, the truth is, we just don't know how to do it. Yet if you can get beyond the how, now you can start to be more flexible. You may not know how to create the life you truly want, but I bet you know how to just take one step. You may not know how to make your current career the best it can be,
but I bet you can figure out how just doing something different tomorrow will advance you in some way or another. So you make the how very small, that too makes the what very small. And this really gets to step three in the process for define it. We just hone in on that one step right in front of you now. A fifth way that the question, what do you want, can keep you stuck is another one that I learned the hard way. After some 6 years of reading books and still having no clue what I wanted, I left Goldman Sachs. See, back then I figured that if after all this work I still didn't know what I wanted, then I just had to stop doing what I knew I didn't want to do. And so I quit. And that was amazing. It truly was the most amazing time in my life. For about 3 or 4 months. And then my brain started asking a different question. Now what? See, I bet there are some people out there who could sit on the beach for the rest of their life, but I wasn't one of them. And people who are ambitious and purposeful and mission-driven can never live that way. It's not that we are looking to escape the 9-to-5 or escape what we don't want. That just creates another now what. What I've come to see that we're all seeking is that thing that we truly love, that we just get indulged in every day. And this is the key point of now what. It leads to an idea I call the onion of wants, which is no matter what you want, once you get it, it's just like peeling back another layer of the onion. Beneath that want is your next want. Really think about it. When was the last time you got what you wanted and you stopped? I'm done now. Don't want anything else for the rest of my life. That career. How quickly do we start to think about, oh, now what do I want? That new house, new car, new shoes, new whatever. All it does is satisfy a temporary want before the brain starts again thinking about, now what do I want? Now, there are things on this that we want to change in our brains as well. But part of it is recognizing how the brain is set up and how the question itself is false. That ultimately we're not asking, what do we want? Instead, we're asking a really basic question. What do I want now? And this leads us to a massive evolution of mine. This was revolutionary for me. And also proved to me that I'd wasted tens of thousands of hours of my life asking, what do I want? It's what I call the dirty secret of what do you want? And the dirty secret is, you don't need to know. You don't need to know what you want in order to get it. See, and as we've worked through the ways we get stuck in our head, and the way we get stuck in the question itself, you can see that the question is false. What do I want is too big. When do you want it? How do you get it? Even once you get it, you're going to ask, now what? And this leads us into the solution set, which is the approach we're working through isn't about solving for what. It's about converting what to a process that leads you to answer it over time. And that's why you don't need to know what you want to get it. All you need to be able to do is orient yourself in the right direction and keep taking the steps that are right in front of you. To use a really pithy example, imagine you are sitting in your driveway in your car, knowing you're headed to the supermarket, but not knowing which one. You're sitting there forever thinking, do I go to this one or do I go to that one? Versus, why don't you just get out of your driveway and then make a turn and then drive a little bit further? The more you just get moving, the choice becomes inevitable. The same is true in our careers and lives. You might not know whether you want to marry this person or that person. So keep exploring. It's called dating. Keep collecting more intel. Keep getting smarter on it. Keep moving and it becomes more clear. In your career, you might not know. Do you stay in your current job? Do you change jobs? Do you start your own business? If you can't answer that question now, then you can't answer it. Continuing to ask, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? Only grinds our gears more, keeps us more stuck. Instead, if you can't answer the question, turn the question itself into a process. And this is what we're doing here. We're asking, okay, so what process leads you to answer this question over time? And this too cycles us back to the idea of the journey. If we think we need to answer the question, we're constantly hunting the destination. But when the journey itself is exploring your wants, now you're living an entire life of wants to wants to wants, journeying, truly exploring your life, remaining flexible and dynamic, pursuing those things that you want to do at each point in time. Now let's talk about this more specifically in the context of goal setting. How do you actually do this? And this is the theme you're going to see throughout this masterclass. We're talking some really hard, big, abstract topics. And throughout the class, we're getting more and more specific. Starting with these big ideas of where we get stuck. And then directionalizing ourselves only just towards what you want. Then we're dropping down again into just drawing up some roadmaps, just some tracks that keep you moving the right direction. And then we drop down again, getting more specific and honing in on this next step. And the reason that I built this sophisticated approach to define it, to really honing in on what you want, is because traditional goal-setting frameworks are insufficient. The approaches that orient you towards a hairy, audacious goal tend to be too abstract. But even then, it's to say, you've just got to get your sights set on what you want. Whereas what we're going to do is just orient you towards a grand vision. It might not even be the grand vision. It might be a big picture vision of this amazing life where you could have your own business, or you could have a career that you drove to the top, or you might be sitting on a beach somewhere. But these visions are all great for you and they get you excited and directionalize you to keep moving. Or you have more specific goal frameworks like the SMART system, which is really good when you know exactly what you want and you're making it specific and actionable. But it's completely useless if you don't know what you want. So the problem with these frameworks is that you either miss the forest for the trees or you miss the trees for the forest, when really what we need is a combination of the two, a way of bringing both these big, abstract, long-term goals together with much more specific and actionable steps that keep you moving. These two things in themselves are a powerful formula, but it's still insufficient. That's because many goal-setting frameworks analogize your goals to like building a house. The problem is that a house has fixed and determinable inputs and outputs. You know exactly what you want the house to look like, and you've designed exactly what goes into it.
But in our world of massive uncertainty and constant change, you have no idea what your career might look like 20 years from now, let alone what the inputs are to succeeding in that career. The best you can do is know where you are now and build a system that enables you to just keep navigating your way there. So it needs to be flexible. It needs to hone in on long-term goals and short-term goals. It needs to give you a way to think big and dream massive, but also just to hone in on those small steps that keep you moving every day. And this is the notion of converting your goals to a process to keep you moving. So even if you don't know what you want, you just keep taking those steps that are right in front of you. And as long as you're moving in the right direction, you're getting there over time. So rather than getting stuck not knowing, you just focused on biting off as much as you can chew, so you can keep walking and chewing at the same time. And I know this is pretty abstract, and we're going to get more specific. But here's a way of thinking about it, which is, imagine a weightlifter focused on lifting a world record weight. That might be a great goal, right? It's a specific and actionable goal. But that goal tells you nothing about what it takes to actually achieve the goal. Instead, if you convert that goal to a process, you say, oh, so to reach that world record weight, really your goal is to show up tomorrow and lift, and show up the day after that and lift, and again and again, and the goal becomes inevitable from the process that you've built. Think about in school, the goal to graduate. It's a false goal, isn't it? It's turning a process into a thing. Because really, graduating is just the inevitable result of showing up every day and doing the work and passing exam after exam after exam. So as long as you're focused on that process, graduating is the natural result. A third example is to think about running a marathon. Same thing. You choose what time you want to run it in, how long you've got to train, and out of that drops a training program. And as long as you follow the program every day or every week, the goal to run the marathon becomes inevitable. Not because you set the goal, but because you laid out a process that enabled you to achieve your goal over time. And that's exactly what we're doing here. This brings us to the end of this track in the masterclass. And at the end of each track, I like to leave you with two exercises. Exercise one. This is a really basic exercise, but I think you'll find you get a lot of value out of it. Just sit back for a little bit and think about the goals that you've had in the past. How did you know what that goal was? When did you know? What did it take for you to explore that goal? Looking back, how did you know that goal was right for you? It might be getting married or having kids or where you went to school or the job that you took. Any number of these choices you've made in your brain, you have a map for what worked well for you and what didn't. Exercise two. What are some of those things, those choices you didn't know until you did? So again, I pick on the marriage advice, but it's also legitimate advice. When you know, you know. Where the advice fails is, well, what if I don't know? If you don't know, the answer is no. The answer is keep exploring. But nobody teaches us this. So just sit back and maybe write about it or at least think about it. What are those things that you didn't know until you did? For instance, when you went to school, did you know what job you would do? And when did that come to you? Did you keep forcing yourself to hunt for the answer? Or did you just learn the answer over time? How did you let it evolve? If you're married, how did you know when you knew? And what did you do when you didn't? When you first started dating, did you force that decision? Or did at some point you just knew that it made sense? What about your job? Maybe when you started your job, you thought you'd really love it. And then at some point, it just began to change. And you didn't know that when you first took the job. Until you did know that. And I'm just playing around with you a little bit here, but I'm also not, which is, the more you think about these ideas in your mind and write a little bit about it, you'll get a better map for the decisions you've made in the past and give yourself more flexibility for the decisions you're making now. Okay, so that brings us to the end of this track. I hope you got a lot out of it, and I look forward to catching you on the next track, where we're going to go through in detail my favorite question. What do I want? More specifically, what do you want?